like to speak to you on the subject of our changing times. And believe me, the time in which we live, and going back even 10, 20, 30 years ago, things have really changed and turned around in the world that we live in today. 2 Timothy 3, beginning with verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sin, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." So many truths in those passages of Scripture concerning the way life is today, or the way that people are today. There's perilous times. In the times of the last days, these perilous times shall come. Look at Romans, the 13th chapter. Romans chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 11. "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Our salvation is nearer than when we believed. What salvation is he talking about? He's talking about that complete salvation that we'll receive when Jesus comes in the clouds of the air. "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Our glorified bodies are coming soon. Amen. Putting away this old nature of ours is coming soon. Being freed totally, both body, soul, and spirit, is coming soon. The signs of the time are there. The conditions of our changing times is proving that and showing it every day. "The night's far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Perilous times shall come. You think about the cost of living and the way things are, everything going up, double and tripling, and constantly we're getting close to that day when it's going to take a day's wages to buy the material that would make and develop a loaf of bread. Look at eggs and the way that they have gone. The price of everything is just astronomical. One of these days, and I'm persuaded we'll not be here. Those that are saved that know the Lord will not be here, because we'll be taken out. But there's coming a day when there'll be a great famine in the worldwide, and many shall die of hunger and starvation. Evil times are upon us. I was going to say evil times are coming, but they're not coming, they're on us. Look at what's going on in the world. There's no regard for human life. Look at what's going on in our country. There's no regard for human life. Look what's going on in our state. There's no regard for human life. Other, how could you pass laws that would permit a woman to have a doctor kill her baby in her womb or out of the womb. Evil times. Look at Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse number 37. Matthew 24 and verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and the days that until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. As it was in the days of Noah. How was it in the days of Noah? Look at Genesis, the sixth chapter. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Genesis 6, chapter verse 5, the Bible says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Good Lord, where do you start? Where do you start? I mean, the testimony, I watched the Gold Rush stuff, and the old man, he uses a dirty four-letter word constantly. And somebody interviewed him, and he said, I don't use that out in public. Well, he uses it on TV. What does that tell you? That tells you they're playing to the moral character of our society as a whole. They accept the filthy language. They accept degrading God with cursing and so forth. It's accepted. As it was in the days of Noah. As it was. Look at verses 11 through 13 here. The earth also was corrupt before God. Now remember, these things are accepted worldwide. Used to be to go and experience some of these things in this country. And I remember when I was a young man, to go, you'd have to go to places like San Francisco or New York City, but there are other places where it wouldn't be tolerated to use bad language or the insinuations and innuendos that they use today. Now it's worldwide. Now it's accepted. And women got their rights. They got a right to have a door slammed in their face, or pushed away and crowded in ahead of them. When they used to be, they'd open the door and wait for the lady to walk across the street and go through the door. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Where isn't there violence in this world today? Where is there? And it's not real big news when somebody's killed in our community. And God looked upon the earth and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. As it was in the days of Noah, so is it in our day. And if you don't see it, open your eyes. It's high time you woke out of sleep. It's time you realize where we're at and the condition that we're in. And the things that are coming upon us and we're going to have to deal with if the Lord tarries his coming. But the most important thing about it is remember, if you've repented your sins and by faith trusted Christ as your Savior, that he's going to come and he's going to take us out of here. What should this tell us? That's soon. That's soon, because these are conditions that will prevail on the earth when the Son of Man would come, the Bible says. Luke 17, verse number 28. Luke chapter 17. And verse number 28. The Bible says, likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all, as it was in the days of Lot. Sodomy, worldwide, accepted, worldwide. Yeah, all kinds of perversion, as it was in the days of Lot. You go over there and read the 18th, 19th chapter over there in the book of Genesis, and you'll find the conditions that prevail there, and find the condition of the people that were there. I mean, it's absolutely no. It should be shocking to us to read what was going on over there. But you know what? Because of the condition that our world is in and these changing times that we're living in, they've changed so much toward corruption that we have become desensitized to it. Lot vexed his righteous soul. Could it be that's what we're doing? The marks of our changing time. Men, lovers of their own selves, selfish. Where is that not? Concerned only with oneself, with disregard for others. 1 John 3 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 7. The Bible says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Verse 3 and 17. That's a good verse of scripture anyway. We're going to look at 17. But whoso hath this world's good, seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? There's not much love of God in this world that we live in today. And a matter of fact, the love of God among God's people sometimes is pretty scarce, pretty rare. Covetous, greedy for money. Years back, a church was built. People settled around it. Now, they build a bank, and the people settle around it, or a city grows up around it. Look at Luke 12, verse number 15. Luke chapter 12. Verse 15, the Bible said, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. This life is not just the material. It's not just fleshly. It's spiritual. We are a spiritual being. And life, our life doesn't consist just in the flesh or the material things of this world. It consists spiritually. And those who really enjoy life are given to the Spirit and feed the Spirit on the precious Word of God. And those who are miserable all the time and cause problems for everybody are those who are living in the flesh, fulfilling the lust. They come in the category of these selfish, greedy, covetous people. And it's always their way. They're always right, never wrong. You know who's always right? God is. You know who's always right? The Word of God is. You know who's wrong? Men. And there's none perfect. Won't be perfect until we receive our glorified bodies. When Jesus comes in the clouds of the air, then we will be perfect in the flesh. Until then, we're not perfect in the flesh. We're perfect in the spirit because it's born again. And that seed remains in us, as 1 John says, and does not commit sin. But this old fleshly nature that we have from the physical birth is still there. And it combats. Galatians, the 5th chapter, talks about that warfare that we have. The flesh against the spirit and that battle that we have. And that'll be laid down when Jesus comes in the clouds of the air and takes us out of here. We're changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, if we're still alive. If not, we're raised from the grave and we're receive our glorified bodies. And we'll be with him from then on out through eternity and not have to deal with this old sinful condition that we're in this day and time. Boasters, those who speak with pride. Look at 2 Peter 2 and verse number 18. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. Those who live given over to the flesh, given over to self, controlled by the devil himself, working through their flesh. Proud, having excessive self-esteem. Being proud will send many to the pits of hell before it's all over with. There's blasphemers. They speak of God or something sacred in an irreverent manner. They have no respect. Look at James 5, verse number 12. James chapter 5 and verse 12. The Bible says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. In other words, your yea, yea, and nay, nay. Take a stand for right. Take a stand in the Word of God, according to the Word of God, and let that rule in your life. And don't let anything, including yourself, draw you away from those standards and those principles. For that is for which we were created. And we were not created to be forced to do that. We were created to become willing to do that. We weren't created to make think that we're doomed if we don't do thus and thus and so. Listen, it's not what we do or have done or don't do. It's what Jesus did. And let that be our yea. And the other be nay. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Stand on it. Stand by it. Accept it totally. Understand it. It's reality. Then, we have disobedient to parents. Look at Deuteronomy 21 and 20. Deuteronomy 21 and verse number 20. And they shall say unto the elders of his city. This is a rebellious child that the parents couldn't control. I don't believe a parent can't control a child if they just will. But this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. They took him to the city. I think if you read on about this child, eventually the city, they stoned him to death under the law. And we're not under the law anymore. But listen, children, In verse 6 of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Amen. Children, obey your parents. Until those children, beginning when you carry them around in a blanket. Now some of you, Dr. Spock appreciators, grab onto it. They got to be 5 years old or more before they understand. Baloney, those kids understand when they come out of the womb. Because the Bible says they come out of the womb speaking lies. And if you wait till they're 5 years old, you got a child like this one in Deuteronomy. You need to correct that child. Don't change with the times when it comes to raising your children. And when you spank them, don't just whack them through a diaper, but spank them to a place to where that their rebellious will is broken. Being very careful, you don't harm the child, and you can spank them without harming them. You're not doing a child any favor by raising them and spoiling them, letting them have their way. Disobedient to parents without natural affections. Look at Romans chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Romans chapter 1, 21 and 22. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You know who the fools are? Those that reject the word of God. That's who the fools are. The wise, receiving, are obedient to the word of God. Foolish not to be. Because you see, if you're one of his, he loves you. And he makes it clear, he chastens his children. He spanks his children. And I'll tell you what, his spankings, I've had a few. And they're not really nice. And they hurt worse than the spankings your parents give you, I guarantee you, because he deals with you deeper. Truce breakers. We made a covenant when we joined this church. That church covenant, that's a truce. Yeah, how well are we doing in keeping that covenant? Or are we breaking it? We submitted to being obedient to the word of God when we surrendered our lives to the Lord in service. How well are we doing it? I'd say mostly people aren't doing very well. Even God's people. Because look at where God's people are today. Incontinent, lacking self-restraint. Fierce, having a savage and violent nature. Despise those that are good. That's envy. You know, we're living in a day when the prophet said that they'd call evil good and good evil. And that's what's going on in our society today. Traitors to country, to God, and to the Lord's church. Heady or headstrong, high-minded, smarter than everyone else. Man, I got it going. I'm smarter than all of them. I'm wiser than any. I'm just a little bit above. You know what? You're a rotten sinner. And you're trying to elevate yourself up to be equal with God or above God. Lucifer tried it. It didn't work for him. It ain't going to work for you. You might as well get off of it while you can. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That's religion out here. That's Christianity today. Put on. You know, be who you are. Be what you are. But be it to the glory of God as you're striving to carry out the word of God. And it doesn't matter what people think or how they feel about you. If you're doing what's right, They're going to be criticized. The Bible says, beware when all men speak well of you. Why worry? God's people need to learn to quit worrying about other people, what they think and how they feel, and just plain and simply live the word and present the word as they go along each day. Have an influence and stand up for righteousness. I believe the Bible says in Paul's epistles over there that we're to rebuke the sinful. How do you do it? With the word of God. By presenting the righteousness as opposed to the other. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians, the second chapter. First three verses. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Now he's talking to members of the New Testament church. But he's also talking to those that are saved if they're not members of the church, because all of those in Christ are going to be involved in this. But he's concerning the church and church members, and he says that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. What? That day when he comes in the clouds of the air and takes us out of here. Except there come a falling away. Now the original language is apostasy, except apostasy comes. That's going away from the truth. The Lord's church is going away from the truth. The Lord's people failing to stand for Bible truths, compromising. Because of the influence of the changing times that we have. You see, our times have changed, but not for the good. I know you don't want to hear about that. You don't want to accept it. You want to, well, this is a glorious time. Look at all the prosperity we have, all the things that we can do, all the things that man has done, everything he's come up with. I mean, man, I don't even have to go down to the bank to pay my bills or to deposit money. I can just do it online. All the wonders that we have. I don't even have to look out the sides of my motor home. I got cameras all the way around it. Good grief. I remember a day when I was a young man, I had to have a roll of baling wire to keep the old Model A Ford running. If you didn't have them, you got caught out, you were in trouble. You couldn't fix it. Listen, he says that there's coming a falling away, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. All right. So, are we in a falling away? Well, if you don't see it, you need to get your eyes open. Again, you need to wake out of sleep. There are some that are denying the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he had denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Those are pretty hefty terms. Rejection of sound doctrine is upon us. Rejection of scriptural truth is upon us. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 through 3. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, to depart from the faith, you got to be in the faith. Where is the faith? It's in the New Testament church, that pillar and ground of the truth that the Bible tells us about. And so he says that some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Then 2 Timothy 4, begin with verse 1. I charge you therefore, brethren, or before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick or the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Preach the word. Stand and hold on to the truths of God's word. There's some that will deny the faith. 1 Timothy, chapter 5, and verse number 8, but if any provide not, he's denied the faith and worse than an infidel. And there's casting off of their first faith. 1 Timothy 5 and verse number 12, the Bible says, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. Again, that's system of doctrine and practice. How many churches do we know in the state of Oregon, Washington, California, we know personally who have done this very thing? Some have erred from the faith. There are scoffers in unbelief. In 2 Peter chapter 3, some will scoff at the coming of the Lord Jesus. The earth is filling up with rich men on every hand. Used to be a millionaire was really something. Now it takes billions to really be something as far as having wealth and prominence in our world today. Daniel 12, verse 4. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4. Bible says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Timothy, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Knowledge is increased. But it's the humanistic knowledge and not the knowledge of the Word of God. By the way, humanism is pretense. This is reality. You go in here and you can find out. We just read plainly some of the things that are going on in our day. Some of the changes that have come about. Some of the things that we're confronted with and facing. You know what? This wasn't written yesterday. It's been around for thousands of years now. It was around in the beginning. It was around before creation. It will be around after it's all ended. Because he makes it plain, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. These standards have been forever and will be. These are the standards we need to be concerned about. This is the knowledge we need to have. We don't need the knowledge of man. We need the knowledge of God. And by the way, Hebrews, the first chapter, tells us how we got the Word of God. God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. He spoke through the prophets. He spoke. This is just one verse. You go throughout the Bible and you can find time and time again. David said he put his word in my mouth. David didn't speak his word. He spoke the word of God. Matthew didn't write his word. He wrote the word of God. Now, I can speak the word of God now because we have it written and recorded here, if I'm speaking from the Bible. These are not the writings of men. Don't let anybody fool you. They're the writings of God. And I'll tell you what, I've read a little bit of some religious books written by men, and there's no comparison. There's life here. There's reality here. There's truth here. There's contradiction in these other religious books. No contradictions here. Not when we study and rightly divide it, as the word tells us. Let's stand. If you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord as your Savior. Did you know that Jesus come, became a man, born of a virgin, and as a man, he fulfilled the law. He repaired the damage that Adam did. And then he suffered, bled, and died, making the payment for what we did. Now, he made the payment for Adam for what he did. He made the payment for us for what we did, because when God gave us a choice, when we came to that age of accountability, beyond that time where he winked at the ignorance, and now he commands all men everywhere to repent, then we did exactly what Adam did. Spirit of God drew us, and we went our way. Spirit of God drew, and we had our way. But thank God he didn't give up. Some of us, he come again. Some of us, we got a second chance. And that second chance is in Jesus, you see, because he did what we couldn't do. He fulfilled the law and took it out of the way. And then he paid that penalty for each and every one of us. All that God demanded because of the broken law, Jesus finished, fulfilled, completed. And he did it not for himself, because he was not a sinner. He did it for you and I. If you will repent of your sins and by faith trust him as Savior, he's promised to save your soul on the grounds of the blood that he shed when he gave his life on the cross of Calvary. What shall we sing, brother? Come to Jesus, whatever the need is in your life. Whether it be salvation, whether it be scriptural baptism, whether it be church membership, whether it be to get a burden of sin lifted, get the joy of your salvation restored, or whatever it might be.
Thank you.
Amen. Why not trust